All right, man. Random thought. How would you feel if your employer, in honor of Juneteenth, served fried chicken and watermelon? And I ask this because there's a story about an IKEA store manager and what they were doing for their staff on Juneteenth. For everybody that came into work on Juneteenth, they prepared a menu that had fried chicken and watermelon. And the committee that came up with the menu, not one African-American person on that committee. So how would you feel if your employer was like, hey, in honor of Juneteenth, here, some fried chicken, some watermelon?
Okay, so which me is this? Is this me now or me back in the early 20s?
I don't know, because you're the Malcolm of the group. You tell me.
Something tells me we're going to be a little bit reversed here, just because you don't like to eat watermelon in front of white folks. So you're probably going to be a little upset about the fact they go, let's see if we can get him to eat some watermelon today.
And it's a two for watermelon and fried chicken. Look, watch them dance.
I mean, I think early 20s me would probably be on that revolutionary tip a lot more so. As opposed to now. And the reason being because I think it's damned if they do, damned if they don't. And of course, I say that while drinking a watermelon Red Bull right now. So, which I'm sure you wouldn't drink in front of white people either, huh?
I wouldn't drink it at all. I don't do Red Bulls. It's bad for you.
Yeah, well, so is the liquor, but whatever. all the water from
only
the tap.
When you mix it with Red Bull.
You know, so here's the interesting thing about it. One, you got to admire the fact that they decided to do something in honor of Juneteenth for their black employees. Will I say that this was a great menu to put forth with, you know, no. But I think what really gets people more upset, I don't think it's the fried chicken. I don't think it's the mac and cheese. I don't think it's the candied yams. I don't think it's the collard greens. I believe the part that really sent everybody over the edge is the watermelon, right? And understanding the historical reference of watermelon when it comes down to the to racism and what they've used in the portrayal of black people in the over the years, I can understand why people were a little upset with it. But let's be honest: had they put some black people on this committee and said, what do you want on the menu? Let's go with some chicken. Let's go with some mac and cheese. Let's go with some, not everybody would say collard greens, but some candied yams. Because if you look up, and I've looked this up, where they've had, okay, what is 68 recipes for black creators, from black creators to celebrate Juneteenth, right? And as you go down these 68 recipes and you start from number one, number one says blackened catfish. Number two, spiced grilled peaches. As you keep going down, you know, brown butter, sweet potato cake. Brazilian collard greens with bacon. I mean, I don't know. I don't eat collard greens, so I don't know if that's a good thing or not. You can tell me. But number five, buttermilk fried chicken. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Number six, watermelon hibiscus whiskey smash. I'm just saying, some of these things are on here. And they may have just Googled because they didn't have any black people to add to the committee. And that's their fault for not adding black people to the committee. And that's why they're getting this backlash.
And that's my issue with it. Mm-hmm. It's not so much the food. It'd be one thing if they got the, let's say they only had four black employees that worked in this IKEA and said, hey, guys, what do you all think? What should the menu be? And all of them picked certain items that might have been on that list you just read. Then that would have cleared the store manager from coming up with that. You know, similar if it was Women's Day. This is National Women's Day. And what if the male store manager got with a few other male employees and said, what should we offer our women that work here to celebrate National Women's
Day? Vacuum cleaners and pots and pans.
cooking classes. You know, it should be, let's get them some cooking classes and get them signed up. Everybody gets a free cooking class.
Hold up. That's
to
not
me,
a bad, that's not,
that would be wrong.
That's not a bad gift.
Nope, that's wrong.
Because
that's
there
wrong.
Are a lot of women nowadays
it's
who can't cook.
It doesn't matter. It's wrong. It's wrong. Because that's to say, in honor of National Women's Day, we're going to teach you broads how to cook. It's wrong.
Well, don't call them broads, first of all. All female. That's Terrell.
That's We're going to teach you women here how to cook because you need to know how to do some things in the kitchen in honor of National Women's Day, because that's how we honor women. It would be wrong. And so that's how I look at this situation where they got together, a bunch of white people got in a room and said, let's have fried chicken. What else do they like? Ooh, mac and cheese. What else do they like? Watermelon. We know they like watermelon. I've seen the movies. What else do they like? Kool-Aid. What flavor? Red.
Look, number 7 on this list, chicken and waffles. Number 8 on this list, watermelon and feta salad. Number 9, honey and butter, you gonna eat your cornbread. I'm just saying.
So that's why I take issue with what this guy did, because yeah, they're totally wrong. They should have thought that out a lot better than that. If I was going to do something for my staff and I wanted, if it's, even if it's Cinco de Mayo, I would ask my staff, hey, Hispanic people on my team, what would you like to see us do to honor Cinco de Mayo?
We don't celebrate that
shit.
And
then they might say, do this, do this, do this. I would do it. But that's what you should have did, was just asked his employees instead of a group of white people coming up with what they think black people should eat on Juneteenth.
Look, this was the last, I'm gonna tell you what happened. This was a last minute decision. Oh shit, it's Juneteenth set. We need to do something. The president just made it a federal holiday. Shit, shit, I know what.
Call Popeyes. Yeah, I need some family meals, spicy. Red beans
you
and
know
rice.
They like spice.
Do y'all do mac and cheese? I'll get that separate. Don't worry about that. Hey, Bryce, go to the store and get a couple watermelons. I think I hear you gotta thump them to make sure they're right, but I think I hear that. Go get a couple watermelons. Set. Thanks, Bryce. Hey, Tanner, what else do you think we should add in here? Collard? Colored greens? Do y'all have collard greens?
Hey, Chet, bring the mac and cheese. I got it. I got some Kraft at the house. That's what pissed him off. It was Kraft mac and cheese. See, that's what it was. Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Roo.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
About a menu like this? Yeah, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yes, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Be sure to like, subscribe, and definitely leave a comment.
Yeah, tell us what you would want at your Juneteenth.
I want a charcuterie board with some nice cheeses.
That's my question. What would you have put on the menu, Terrell? Because, you know, in all of this, you haven't said what would you have done for your employees? Because you're a black man. And you're from Texas. I did notice.
Thank you.
Texas, so that means you've been celebrating Juneteenth forever. So therefore,
I would have asked the staff, what do they want? Mm-hmm. And then just provided what they wanted instead of guessing.
Now.
And these IKEA stores have a large employee base. They're not like, it's not like a Dollar General where you only have 12 or 10 employees. You have a large amount of employees. Just ask them, hey, what do you guys want? And make it the group's decision.
What do you
and
people
that eliminates
want?
All those problems. Yes, you people.
So here's the question, though, because if your staff...
I need to see the following four people in the office. Shaquita Johnson, Lamarck, Dontavious.
I got to ask this question because, of course, you've got a large staff now, and I'm sure the majority of your staff is not black, right? So would you just go to the black people on your staff, or would you just ask the staff as a whole? Because you may get this exact same menu from everybody, or do you just cancel those? All right, Chet, yours doesn't count. Bryce, yours doesn't count.
Yeah, I would ask the staff as a whole. That way everybody felt like they had a voice. Mm.
And then just cancel out. Okay.
And that eliminates the problem. Some people might not respond to the email. They could care less. Some people are going to be like, I think we should do this. Some people are going to listen to what the black people say. Who knows? But if you just ask everybody, and that way it's a team decision, nobody gets upset.
I would like some hummus and... Oh, man. Look, so as I noticed that there was... Oh, look at this. So Tracy hit us up on Facebook, said, Terrell, a lot of females go to... By the way, I just noticed that she said females and not women. I just want to point that out because I didn't correct you on the females.
I'm not the only one.
And maybe that's something... Is it females or is it women? Because I've had women say to me, thank you for correcting him on that. And then, okay, so she says, Terrell, a lot of females go to gymnastic competitions. I have not seen men come out to watch a meet. I'm just saying.
Now, this is... she's referring to my comment about... More women need to support the WNBA and if more women supported WNBA, then there'd be more men that would go to the games. I think she's commenting on that comment.
And I thought that was a great comment you made. And I can see her point. She's saying a lot of women go to gymnastics competitions, and she still has not seen any men coming out to watch a meet.
Okay. So, Tracy, A, thanks for leaving a comment. That's what we're talking about. Thanks for being part of the dialogue. So, to your point, yes, a lot of women go see gymnastics, but gymnastics revenue isn't driven by ticket sales, such as the WNBA and the NBA. So it's not quite an apples-to-apples comparison. Number two, if there were a lot of men at gymnastics events, I would be freaked out about that because there's a lot of young girls there. And so if there's a whole lot of men, and especially if it's not their daughter out there, I just find that weird. If a couple guys like, what are you doing Saturday? I got a couple tickets to the gymnastics meet. Let's go check it out. And you got just a bunch of random dudes watching a bunch of young girls do gymnastics. To me, that's weird. So I hear your point. I hear what you're saying. And true, there's a lot more women at women's gymnastics. But women's gymnastics revenue is not generated based on how many people come watch a gym meet. Whereas WNBA, NBA, their revenue is driven by that. And if more women and people in general, if the fan base got increased at a WNBA event, they'd be able to pay the women more money if they started making more money. But until they do, women are going to make less in the WNBA compared to the NBA because they don't have a big enough fan base.
I would love to counter your argument and play devil's advocate here and really just bash you on this point. However, I've got to say that in realistic.
I'm right.
I wasn't going to go that far. What I was going to say was, because even when you say women's gymnastics, really and truly the prime age for a woman in gymnastics is not even her being a woman, right? Because if you're 21 in gymnastics, you're old and it's about time for you to retire, okay? There are very few that make it past that and still are at an elite level because usually the Olympic age is somewhere between, 15 and maybe 18, 19? And even 18, 19 is old, like, you ain't gonna make it, kind of stuff. Because those who've been a standout gymnast have always been around 16, 17, 15 and 17, right? So I agree with you, because in this sense of the fact that it would be weird to see just a bunch of men out there celebrating and cheering on these young girls, because that's what they are. They are young girls, they're young women in training, but yeah, they're still young girls. And it would seem kind of weird in that sense. However, let me just point out, guys have got to be better than women who go to the basketball games. Because women who go to the basketball games are going to try and get not all, but there's some women who go to basketball games and try to get a come up, right? And man, if you go to a sport for women, women's sport, it's okay to go and cheer on women. It's okay to go and cheer on women. So you can go to the WNBA games and watch and cheer on, right?
Okay, you're saying there's a group of women in this world that go to NBA games hoping to get noticed and get to meet an NBA player and hopefully to level up.
Level up.
Is what you're saying.
Level
Which,
up.
I mean, I hear you. I would not go to a WNBA event in hopes of Skylar Diggins, right?
Yes.
We were talking about her last week. I would love to watch her play, but I wouldn't go thinking that she's going to see me in the stands and be like, you know, double up, be like, what's up?
I see
you know, sending somebody
Terrell?
To come give me her phone
what
number.
What would you be?
I
Where
wouldn't
would
expect
you be, though?
That.
If she hey, Terrell.
If she wanted to talk to me, hell yes. I would like to get to know her and see what she's like on the mental level. Physically, she's gorgeous, but I'd have to have a conversation with her to see if there's any connection. But hell yes, I'd be interested. But the odds on that happening is zero. You know, 0% chance that would happen. And you're right. I don't think guys would be going to these games to try to pick up on women. And to be honest, in the WNBA, a lot of those women don't want men. They want some of the women that are coming
to
the game.
Hey, stop being so judgy, Terrell. Stop being so judgy.
Who knows? No, I mean, that's just a fact. But I think that even men's gymnastics, that's not packed with men watching gymnastics events.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, gymnastics is not, it's more of a, I hate to say it's more of a women's sport, but more women watch that sport than men. And it is what it is. Just like figure skating. More women watch figure skating than men. So, good point. But thanks, Tracy, for putting Terrell in this place.
You just like that. You just wanted to say that.
So, as we pivot from the WNBA, let's go over to the NBA, where there are people in the stands,
Men and women in the stands having the ball.
What's going on with the playoffs? Because, you know, I don't watch till it gets to the finals.
Yeah, it's so it's down to the final four teams. You have the Clippers and the Suns, and then you have the Bucks and the Atlanta Hawks. The Bucks in Atlanta, I believe, is at 1-1. Milwaukee just dominated Atlanta yesterday. Just spanked them, which they should. They have all the size. They should just be doing whatever they want, regardless of what Trae Young does. With the Clippers and the Suns, Suns balled out in L.A., so now it's 3-1 Phoenix. So, you know, it's not so much Suns in four, but it's looking like Suns are going to, like, wind up tearing Phoenix up. Because if Phoenix wins tomorrow, then they'd be playing one more game.
No, that'd be it.
Their game is in L.A., their game is in L.A. tomorrow. So game four
be
is
game
in
five,
L.A. tomorrow.
If it's 3-1 now, game five.
Game five. Yeah, game five is in L.A. tomorrow. And then game six would be in Phoenix. So I see my Terrell's predictions.
Oh boy.
Phoenix is going to beat L.A. And Milwaukee is going to beat Atlanta.
I am so sorry, so Phoenix. I apologize, Milwaukee. I'm so sorry he just put the kiss of death on you. Oh, my God. Why would you do that?
You know? I just call it. I think I'm getting better at this guessing game. I think I'm getting better.
Chris Paul has the opportunity to go back in the place that he was playing and say, hey, y'all just go down the street, go home. We're going on to the finals and do that, right? So he has a chance to do that in L.A. Is it the Forum? What's the place called now?
Where they Staples Center.
Staples Center. There we go. Yeah, he has a chance to do that until you just jinxed him, so it's probably going to be 3-2.
Well, here's the deal. I forgot to add this caveat. Kawhi Leonard is not playing.
Yeah.
And he hasn't played all four games of this series because he's been injured. Now, if Kawhi comes back and is able to contribute, they have a chance. But the Clippers have no chance beating the Suns without Kawhi Leonard.
Okay. All right. And then you think the Hawks have no chance of beating the Bucks. I know the Hawks slipped by in one game one, got thumped in game two. No chance.
The Bucks should have won game one. I mean, they should have won game one. In game two, the Bucks dominated using their size. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. Giannis was doing whatever he wanted to do. And that's what they need to be doing against that group. They put some really good defense on Trae Young. Trae Young is just a talent, right? He's just a phenomenal talent.
Yeah.
But if you looked at some of the plays that Giannis did, he didn't really have to jump. I mean, he can just get over and just, you know, he did this finger roll that was just beautiful. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think the Bucks. I think it's just their time.
Okay. Well, it'll be interesting to see if you can break this curse, this kiss of death curse, because you've now picked the Suns and the Bucks. Let's see if you do this, because the Suns should be a shoo-in. It's 3-1. They have all the momentum. But you just put a curse on them. The Bucks have the momentum because, like you said, they should have won game one. They steamrolled through game two. It should be done in three more games. However, you know, there's a lot of talk going around as we're in the love of sports real quick. Boxing has really been stepping up a lot more. You had Gervonta Davis, who stepped up two weight classes to fight Mario Barrios this past weekend, knocked him out, took his title. And then you've got, of course, this whole Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder match that's coming up on the 24th. And we'll talk more about that later. I've been through down a rabbit hole of all the conspiracy theories that people have as to why Tyson Fury won the last fight and dominated. And how, oh, well, if you go back and look at this person who cheated and this person who cheated. And it's do you feel any of this excitement? Because I feel like I may be in a bubble. No? Okay, never mind. All right. Just checking.
Because you're big into boxing. Like, you're way more into boxing than I am. So I don't feel anything. I'm just like, whatever. Who's fighting? A lot of times I don't even know. Anytime we talk on the phone, you start talking about boxing, you just go down this rabbit hole, and I just go, yeah. Word? Yeah. And I just listen to you because that's what friends do. But I'm not paying attention.
Well, something that people should be paying attention to is something that you posted the other day. And I was like, you know what? We definitely got to talk about this. And it was virtual interview tips. Because let's see, if I can pull this up, what you had said. Because what you said made so much sense, right? And you think, mm-hmm. you think it's common sense for people. But you said video interviews, let's talk about them, should be done with a laptop or webcam. Avoid doing them from your phone. You think your picture's fine, but on the interviewer's side, we usually just see up your nose, only your chin, or in some cases, only your cleavage. Is this what's really like, interviewing all these people?
Yes. Yes, that's exactly what it's really like. And I get some people might not have a laptop. Somebody might not have a webcam. Okay, borrow somebody's. Work it out. Try to find a way to use a laptop or webcam. But when you're interviewing from your cell phone, majority of the time, what happens is all I can see is your chin or your mouth. Literally, there's times I can see is up their nose because they're holding it down here. Or they're holding it up. But it's, again, the camera angle, all I see, and this has happened where it's just cleavage. I'm just like, hey, would you mind losing your camera? I can just only see your chin. You know, I didn't know what to say. But test it out. Practice with somebody before you have the video interview. If you have to use your phone, test it out with somebody. Practice with somebody and say, hey, how's my picture? How does this look? Should I set it down here? I've seen people in their car with their phone. I've seen people driving with their phone on video interview, driving. Or they're sitting there in their car, which is crazy because when I'm interviewing somebody and I send them an email, I'm like, hey, I would love to do a video interview with you. When are you available? And if you tell me I'm available at 3 o'clock on Thursday, I'd be like, all right, Central, Eastern, Pacific, because it'd be anywhere. And they'd be like, Central, perfect. I will send you a calendar invite for 3 o'clock Central on Thursday. Then when you get them on the interview, they're in their car and you're like, I thought this was a good time. Okay, but I can work through that. And one person, she had her phone up and then her daughter kept like leaning in from the back seat, like get into the camera. And I'm just like, what do you do? And I could tell she's trying to hide it. And then her daughter would just keep just popping in. And I'm just like, okay, I get it that, you know, you're trying to multitask. You got pick up kids from daycare, whatever, but put yourself in the best position that you can, because a video interview is just like an in-person interview. You want to put your best foot forward. If you know that there's no way you can do a video interview, tell them that. Say, hey, I don't really have the ability to do a video interview. I don't have a laptop. I need to buy one, which is why I'm applying to this job, because it'll help me be able to buy a laptop. I can definitely do a phone interview if that helps. Just say that. But to be on your cell phone during an interview, you just got to be careful. If you can't avoid it, I get it. But try your best to, because normally it's not the best image of yourself that you're presenting in a video interview.
Is it a knock or not to say, hey, I won't be able to do a video interview. Is there any way to do a phone interview? Or can we do a phone? What's the proper way to ask that then?
I think the proper way is just ask, just say it just like you did. Hey, I really can't do a video interview because I don't have the equipment to do that except for my cell phone, which I don't think I present well over a mobile phone. Mm-hmm. What if, can we just do a phone call and let the company give you the power of choice, right? In some cases, the company could say yes, depending on the role. Now, if it's a customer-facing position, let's say a sales position, a lot of times that's why they want to see you on camera, because they can't do it in person. So they want to see you on camera to see what your interaction is going to be like, because you're going to be presenting to some of their clients and they want to see what your presence is like. In some cases, if it's an accounting position, they might not care. So, you know, what your customer facing skills are, because you're going to be in the back doing data entry anyway. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter.
So if somebody tells you, at least in that case, you already know what to expect going in.
Yeah. So if I know that they can't do, they can only do it from their phone, at least I know that going into it. Because when I'm interviewing somebody, I have a script that I go through, which is I'm telling them about the position, the company, benefits, all those things. And if they're on their mobile phone or iPhone, it's like as they're moving it, it throws me off because it just distorts the picture. And then if they have, you know, people in the back seat of a car where they're like popping their head in, it's just distracting and it just kind of throws me off. So I think
I shouldn't be doing it like an IG video, like, yo, what's up, T?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll be a good hire, son.
Yeah. And so I say that if you're going to do a video interview, try your best not to use your phone to do it. If that's your only option, tell them that. That way they can be prepared. But again, I'd encourage you to ask a friend, ask a neighbor, can I borrow your computer? to be able to do this interview?
I just realized something. I think I interviewed one of these people that commented on your page, said I had someone go through a drive-thru at Chick-fil-A. That was me. I love somebody said, thank you for your TED Talk. Keep them coming. So that's exactly why we had to do this, man, because I think it's again, if you don't know, you don't know, and it's okay to not know, but it's also okay to take some advice and when you get it, and that's why I really wanted you to kind of share that on here today. You know,
in this world right now, I mean, there's so many people doing video interviews because people are hiring a lot of people to do remote work. So put your best foot forward. Look at your background. Make sure you have a decent background or protect your background. There's ways that you can set up, you know, background so they can't see behind you. Make sure you're in a good, quiet space to be able to do it. Make sure your laptop is charged. I was doing a video interview with somebody and they're sitting there. All of a sudden they get up and they're like walking around with their laptop. I'm like, hey, are you okay? I'm like, oh no, my computer's about to die. I need to get on the charger. I'm like,
yeah.
Why were you not prepared? Because this, to me, those little things say a lot about who you are. And I think there's people who are going to tell me, well, Terrell, you got to give people a chance and all that. I'm like, no, you don't. You know, if you want to hire top talent for your team, there's a different, I'll give somebody a chance who's putting in effort to make sure they're prepared. You know, you might not know. I've hired so many recruiters who don't know how to recruit, but it's because they understood how to set themselves up for the interview. They presented themselves well. I will teach you all day long and offer you a really good career and pay you well to do it. But I'm not going to give you a chance if you're sitting there on your laptop 5 minutes into the interview and your laptop's about to die. That just says a lot about you.
That's just a lack of preparation.
Yeah. So I'm like,
You know, it's interesting. It's a great point in the setup and the visual behind you. I mean, like, of course, this is not a great setup, but, you know, I remember when I was interviewing for my first ops manager position and had a bookcase. And I remember just seeing this Adam Schefter on ESPN. He always had the bookshelf behind him and different things that you'd see. And it's amazing. So I set certain things about I'm looking in there, looking at the video first. I what's actually showing up behind me. And I could got this, move this, shift this a little bit. So I make sure it can be seen. And guess what? One of the things that came up, that was brought up, was like, hey, I see you're into golf back there. I'm like, oh, you've been reading my shit behind me. Yeah, nosy so-and-so.
But I mean, what's great about that is you think about back when you were doing in-person interviews. Mm-hmm. A lot of times that in-person interview, it's a whole lot of get-to-know-you stuff. Just kind of chit-chat, right? And with the video interviews, with time, you don't really do that as much. But to your point about the background, I think what the background does says a lot about the person's personality. And that's what you want to realize. Like, I can look at a resume and tell if you can do the job. Now, I just want to see, do I want to work with you on a daily basis? So I specifically or strategically set up my background to look the way it does. You know, I have a picture about my brother. My brother got me this as a Christmas gift one year. I love the sign that says today is a good day for a good day. And a lot of people, when I'm on work calls, they comment on it. To your point, I have the bookshelf. If somebody wants to dig deep, there's a sign that talks about what leadership is. I have my diploma. I have my fraternity paddle. I mean, but everything in my background says something about my personality.
Yep.
And I think that's great. Now, if you don't have a good background, awesome. There's ways that you can blur your background out. Do that. That way you don't see your... I mean, I've been on interviews where someone's sitting there at their dining room table. Everything is going well. And all of a sudden, their partner, you know, husband, boyfriend walks by in shorts, no shirt in the back, getting a bowl of cereal. And you're just like, okay, this is interesting.
Yeah.
You know, now, one thing I always give a pass... If you have a dog that pops up, because I just love dogs, I don't care. You always get a pass with me if your dog jumps up into the picture because dogs are so freaking cute.
That's Terrell. I'll tell you, get that mutt out of here. Get that needy bastard out. Tie it up outside, goddammit.
No. Love it.
Well, that's Terrell's tips. And, you know, again, we'll have some more of these because definitely you have some great advice when it comes to this job market. As everybody's, as we're getting off of this, getting off the teat, as you said a couple episodes ago, and getting back to work and people will be interviewing. Some of these things are going to be great to know. Big in the news this week, man. Derek Chauvin got 22 and a half years for the murder of George Floyd. And he actually kind of offered Well, I don't really want to say it's an apology because he just kind of like, I want to give my condolences to the Floyd family. There's going to be some other information in the future that would be of interest, and I hope things will give you some peace of mind. What?
Nothing.
What? That's the kind of apology. I remember when I did an apology, something like this, right? When it was like, I'm sorry for whatever it is that you think I did. You know? Now, granted, I was like 8 at the time. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a difference. This is a grown-ass
man. I'm sorry you feel that way.
I'm sorry you feel I did something to make you feel bad, you know?
Yeah. That was sad. I'm happy that he got the 22 and a half years. I know the max was 30. Mm-hmm. 22 and a half years is still pretty good. And you got to think about it. Even if he gets parole in 15, mm-hmm. Depending on where they put him, because if he gets into general population, mm-hmm. you know, there are a lot of people who have been incarcerated who have nothing to lose that would love to have a conversation with him.
Yeah.
Similar to how, you know, inmates are when pedophiles get locked up. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's some people that want to have a little chit chat with him. But to say that to the family, there's nothing else that'll come out that'll give them peace or anybody. So he should just shut the hell up, take your sentence and just move on.
Yeah. But then, again, this is a now granted what he gave was not much. Had he not said anything, it would be would it be worse if he said nothing or would it be worse because of what he said?
There's nothing he could have said that's going to make the family feel better.
Right.
In that situation. So just don't say anything. Because even if he tried to give a heartfelt apology, no one's going to believe it.
Right.
You know, even if he meant it hardcore, he mm-hmm. truly felt bad. Mm-hmm. No one's going to believe it.
Good point.
So just don't say anything because it's a lose-lose situation.
Now, people have been talking about the sentence and saying it's not enough. George Floyd won't be back in 22 and a half years. You've seen even Beyonce's mom, Tina Lawson, as she's now Tina Lawson and her remarried, saying that this wasn't enough and he should have gotten life. Where do you stand on this one? Because, I mean, again, life still wouldn't have brought George Floyd back. And it doesn't matter. Would it have been life or is it the death sentence? What the death penalty? What would have made anybody happy? Or is there anything that could have made people say, all right, justice was served?
There's nothing that's going to make everybody happy.
Right.
But just because of the situation, you still got to look at what the law says. Mm-hmm. And this is not an offense that gets somebody life in prison. Even if it was a black police officer who killed a white person, mm-hmm. they wouldn't get life for this.
Right.
So you got to take that out. But there's no sentence that could have been passed where everybody would have been like, we feel good about that.
Yeah. I almost hate saying it's progress in the sense that we got a sentence. But we've seen too many times when people have gotten off for shit. And mm-hmm. he's sentenced. Is that going to stop the next person? Probably not just the next person, but, you know, are more people going to be sentenced in this case? You know, are more cops going to be held accountable? Time will tell, but I mean, I don't know. I'm tossed up in this one, just in the sense that, you know, I'm happy that he was sentenced. Yeah, it's only 22 and a half years. He may be out in 15, right? And now, of course, we'll all be mad if they go, well, you know, great behavior, so we're going to let him out in 5. Everybody's going to be pissed, obviously, and rightfully so. So as long as he serves the time, like anybody else would have to. You do the crime, you serve the time.
Yeah, and you serve the time. Okay, I can move on. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever that time was, whether it's 15 years or all 22 and a half, because going back to our original reason we started this podcast, I forgive Michael Vick for fighting dogs mm-hmm. or being a part of dog fighting. Mm-hmm. He served his time. Mm-hmm. I forgive him for that. Mm-hmm. Similar to Derek Chauvin. Mm-hmm. What you did was wrong. If he serves his time, great. I let it go. I wouldn't hang with you.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to have a beer with you, but my anger towards you was over.
Right.
And there's no amount of anger that's going to bring George Floyd back. But I'm not going to like look at Derek Chauvin and say, you know, F you forever, because then I believe in trying to be a better human being.
I see your shot there. I felt that. There are a lot of people who missed that shot you just took at me. But it's OK. I'm going to leave that alone because I'm going to let you shoot yourself in the foot when it comes to your buddy, Theodore Roosevelt. What has he said this week? Has he done anything crazy?
No.
Wow. That's 2 weeks in a row.
No, Ted Cruz hasn't said or done anything crazy. You know, he was in a hearing this week and got called out for trying to mansplain something about that another senator had said. And she was calling him out, just saying, I know you like to have the last word. And this was, you know, around the concept of it was something dealing with the judges. But Ted Cruz, for all those that have been listening, you know that he's on my hot list. He's someone I think we should vote out. Mainly because I think he's an opportunist, which is like a lot of politicians. But, you know, the whole snowpocalypse, that should be the thing that we Texans should not ever forget that this person did, where he lied about why he went to Cancun. Mm-hmm. Tried to go to Cancun because it was cold, want to go someplace warm, which is fine. You can still work from Cancun. But out of all the fighting you do towards Democrats, all the fighting you do towards Biden, you've not done anything towards ERCOT and the energy company here in Texas. Put that anger towards that, and maybe we could have some results. But instead, you chose to go to Cancun, and then once everybody got mad at you, you came back the next day, didn't quarantine after leaving the country, as you're told to do, and then you went out, take some photo ops of putting bottled waters in the back of people's cars. So for that reason, Texans, we should come together. Vote Ted Cruz out.
It won't happen, but, you know, because like I told you, Texas is going to Texas. Texas is going to Florida. Texas is going to Flexus. And Ted Cruz will be right back where he needs. Well, I can't say needs to be, but where he wants to be. Because, and you've seen the stuff that Texas has been passing recently. You've lived in Texas long enough to know that this is going to happen. I get it. I love the hope that you have. I love the optimism. I love the fact that you believe that you can rally the troops, you know. But I think if anything...
I believe.
And you have to sometimes. But I think if anything has proven, like Trump is on his revenge tour now, and you see him out here in Ohio cutting up, and, you know, the stuff that they say at these things is just bananas. But it's what gets the base riled up, and they're ready to go. So I think Ted Cruz understands that, and that's why he jumped on the bandwagon. And despite what Trump said about his family, about his father, about his wife, it doesn't matter. He can say something bad about him today, and he'll still back him anyway. So, because power, he wants to be in power. So, I'm sorry, buddy. Hate to see you out here, you know, swinging for the fences like you're in the ring with Mike Tyson. It's just not going to happen, buddy.
Hey, doesn't hurt to try. Doesn't hurt to try. It's all I can do.
You know, I sent you this this bullshit because. It came to me, and I was like, what the heck is this? And it's this girl, Blue Jazz.
So I had a guy get me a Benz before and put me in a loft space and, you know, set my whole life up differently than what it was normally. And I feel like if you brought me to, like, this level, and then we didn't work out, but we're still friends, you know? We didn't have beef, and no one cheated. It was just didn't work out. But I still, I wasn't going to move from my space because it didn't work out. I wasn't going to give him back my car because I'm not going to downgrade my lifestyle because me and you are no longer together. And I just feel like if you put me in this space and that was under your budget then, what's the difference now? You know what I mean?
You were my girlfriend. I was fucking you.
Yeah, but I just...
I was fucking
I
you.
I just feel... Yeah, but I personally feel like, no.
The argument that the other gentleman in that video was saying is, well, that was only because y'all were together. Now that y'all aren't together anymore, you should be on your own and you should be taking care of that stuff. And she totally disagreed. Now, she's a gold digger. That's all she really is. And let's just call it...
Damn, what, tell us how you really feel.
Yeah, let's call it what it is. She's a gold digger. You know, there's nothing worse than any man taking advantage of a woman for her money and saying that this woman needs to take buy him a car, pay for his house. And when the relationship is over, she should still be paying for that because you put me at this position. And that's exactly what she's doing. And I think it's crazy. I think more women should be upset about that. But if you look at where we are in the Instagram world, that's what some women want, and that's what some women do. Now, if you're the guy, I don't fault her for being a gold digger. I just call her what she is. I look at the guy as like, you're a fool, because even if you are that rich,
it's the gold digger and the fool.
Yeah, even if you are that rich and you choose to date somebody. Because here's my thing. If you love her that much, why didn't you just move her into your house? So there must be more to that story.
Hey, I don't need her there because I've got all my other side chicks over here, too.
Exactly, because I got my wife here. Right, that's probably what it is. It's like my wife lives here. So what guy falls in love with a woman and buys her a really nice place and a really nice car? So there's something up with that story. But at the end of the day, if he chooses to keep paying for that, he's a fool. And that's just dumb, right? But if you have that kind of money and you just want to do stupid shit with it, go for it. So again, I don't fault her for being a gold digger, but that's what she is. But I fault the dude. That, to me, that's the guy's fault. If he chooses to keep paying for it, don't be upset at her. You know, look at him.
So, but here's a, okay, so again, this is outside of our tax bracket, right? Obviously, the level that he's at is a much higher tax bracket than ours. Like, he probably pays in taxes what we get in salary combined, all right? So, even though when you're actually up in that level, they pay little taxes, so maybe not. But the point I'm trying to make is that if we were ever at that level, then we might have a better understanding of this. And maybe it's, all right, at this case, you break up today. Does it mean tomorrow she's got to get out the house? Tomorrow she's got to give up the car? Or you're giving her a month, 2 months, 3 months to get her, get a new place to live, you know, find a new mode of transportation?
Depends on why we broke up. it depends on why we broke up. You know, if we broke up because she cheated in the house that I'm paying for, you got to get out today. And I'll have police officers there to get you out. Because obviously, if I have money like that, you don't have a big enough legal team to handle what I'm going to be bringing your way. So you got to get out that day.
So if and she
that
cheated, she got to leave out today. Yeah.
Getting repossessed. If we both kind of realize, hey, this just didn't work out, then it's like, how much time do you need?
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hold up. How you just skip past the whole other side of this? Because if you're the seven to eight figure dude, you probably are the one that cheated. So if you're the one that cheated, then what?
Okay, if I'm the one that cheated, let's just say I'm the one that cheated, she's mad and she wants to end it. Okay, great. We still need to negotiate when you're going to get out of the house I'm paying for. Mm-hmm. So I could probably move in the other chick I cheated with into that spot. Yeah. Sorry, I'm going to need that space. I got a new tenant. Need that space. But if we're not romantically involved anymore, whether it's the next day, at least 90 days, you're mm-hmm. going to have a window that you have to get out. If I'm paying for that building, that space that you're in, you have to get out. And that car is going to go too. You're not going to keep that. So I wouldn't do that. You know, and that would be, I think if you're going to, well, here's the reality. If you're going to buy somebody a car to avoid all that drama, do it. If you're going to do it out of your heart, buy them a car and let them have the car.
Yeah.
Regardless of what type of car it is. If you're going to do it, obviously you got that kind of money like that, but you're not going to keep the house or the place that I'm paying for. You're not keeping that. You can take the car and go wherever you need to go.
You can take this Honda Accord and be happy with it.
Yeah, you can take whatever. But I think I don't fault the gold digger. I fault the dude for being stupid.
Now, I feel you on that, but the point that she made later in that video was, oh, and if he wants it back, then I'm gonna fuck up the car. And all I'm like, why?
Exactly. That's why I say you let them have the car. Put in their name, put the insurance. If they want to destroy it after that, that's on them. Mm-hmm. But you can hold them legally accountable for destroying the house. And you can press charges for that and take them to court, take them to jail, whatever you got to do.
This man
the
has car,
you're
going to
lose out on that. I pay attention. Like, if I'm going to buy you a car, it's yours. You can have it. I'm not going to try to get it back, because the moment I try to get it back, you're going to tear it up, damage it, key mm-hmm. it, all kind of stuff to mess it up.
Yep.
So just keep the car. But if you damage the house that's in my name that I'm letting you stay in as a tenant, and I'm just kind of paying your rent for you, yeah, I can hold you legally accountable. And I will take you to jail. I don't care how much I loved you. I don't care how good the sex was. You're going to jail.
You're going to jail tonight.
You're going to jail tonight. Because if I got money like that, my legal team, I don't mind going to court and paying my lawyers whatever it takes to put your butt in jail for destroying the house.
You know, I saw this other bullshit, man. And I was actually ready to get on the whole rude boy rant when I saw Lala's birthday post. You know, and the gift, it looks like the gift to herself was the body by Mattel. You know, when I got the, I was ready to go in on the whole stripper Barbie look. You know, but I wasn't going to go in on her. I was going to go in on the guys who kind of support this. You know, and push this. But instead of that, I was traveling this weekend, and man. We need to talk about airport etiquette. And you've traveled a lot more than I have, right? You've traveled more often mm-hmm. over the last how many ever years. You've been up and down these airport streets. And I'm just like, when the plane gets to the gate and they tell you, we're going to disembark, you know, front rows first. But you have those people who stand up from the back of the plane or a couple rows behind you and want to come and rush their way past you. Like they're rushing to get off the plane faster than you because they've got places to go. And then you realize that when you get off the plane, they're literally standing right there waiting on their luggage that got checked. Because they got to stand in the jetway anyway. So you're not going anywhere. So why are you trying to push past me to get up? And I just had this happen today where this woman is trying to get past. She's literally standing by the seat and putting her hand between me and the guy that's got the aisle seat, right? And so pushes her way through. So I jump up next because somebody's behind her, grab my stuff like, yo, I got to go too. We all got to go, right? So when she sees that I'm between her and the other person, she jumps into another seat and waits for them and has something to say to me. I'm like, look, we all go in the same place. We all got to get off the plane. How you jump in front of my daughter? Why you jump in front of me in the first place? You were back there. Stay back there. Wait your turn. I bet I smack the shit out of you. I bet you won't.
She said that?
She said that. I was like, I bet you won't. Now, granted, I know she had about 100 pounds on me, but and I'm not going to fight her. But I'll let her go to jail and spend time with the feds because you don't go fighting in the airport. One thing you learn, don't fight in the airport, right?
Right, so, or on the airplane while it's in the air.
Especially then.
Yeah. But, I mean, there are a lot of people who do that, and I do just what you've done. I box out. Mm-hmm. You know, even when the plane lands, I don't get up right away. I just sit there. And I tend to sit, I'm a Southwest fan, so I tend to sit in row 7, mm-hmm. right? Row 7, aisle seats. That's kind of my spot. So I'm already close to the front, but I will totally stand up and box you out.
Yeah.
If you're trying to do that. Just to mess with you, because I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, now there are those people who are like, I have a connection, it's about to take off. But I'm like, they know you landed, they're not going to let it take off without you. You're fine. You know that.
Oh no! Nowadays they
always
will.
Do that. Now, most of the time they know that you're landing. So they're communicating to the plane, even though I've been on Southwest flights where I'm thinking we're done. We're just sitting there, and they're like, "Hey, there's another plane that just landed. We have 5 passengers coming, and so it might make me late to get to my destination." But they waited for those people who just landed because it's not their fault,
right?
That plane came in late. But don't get up running to the front. Don't even stand up. For all y'all listening, when the plane lands. Sit your ass down.
Talk to him.
There's nothing that you're going to do that's going to speed up the process. Just sit there and keep chilling. And then when it's time for your row to get up, you stand up, you open the overhead, pull your bag out, and then you move on. Similar to those people that like to put their bag further back.
Yes.
And then they sit at a seat up front. I'm like, no.
And then they're trying
you
to come
sit back where your luggage back. Is.
Yeah.
Or they're looking at somebody like, do you mind? It's the blue one.
Yes.
With the ribbon. I'm like, yeah, you can come get it as soon. Yeah, you can come get it once a lot of us get out the way. You chose poorly.
Here's my thing about that, too, because American does not hold the planes for you, right? So Southwest may do that. American doesn't. But here's the thing about this situation, too. I had no idea who the person was the second person in that, right? Come to find out the second person was her daughter, right? But a grown daughter, too. A grown daughter. But as the woman's like, my daughter, why you cut my daughter off? Why you cut me off? And the daughter's back there like, Mom, please just stop. And she's going on and on. She's saying all this other stuff. Mom, come on, just stop. You're embarrassing the shit out of your child because you are wrong, first of all. And I've seen another one where a guy and walks up. He's probably about 2 seats in front of me now by the time he gets up there. But he's standing there, and of course, nobody's getting off the plane. They haven't even opened the door yet. And then he... I'm like, if I'm the person sitting right there where you just coughed all over, boy... Why y'all?
That's only COVID, though. That's only because of
not
COVID.
Not because of COVID.
Pre-COVID, we probably would make a bit of shit about somebody coughing.
I always hated that shit. Don't come coughing over me because people don't know how to cover their mouth sometimes. And that's the big problem. But yeah, airport etiquette, man. I think the main thing is we've seen people just have this shorter fuse nowadays. Coming out of quarantine, people have a shorter fuse. If you're wrong, you're wrong. And, you know, I ended up seeing her later in the airport just walking because I stopped at one gate to see, hey, I know you got an earlier flight out. My connection's not till later. Do you have any space on this plane? No, this one's full. All right, cool. And so she happens to finally catch back up. And so when she sees me walking, she tries to cut me off again. I'm like, how old are you? 5? What the hell is wrong with you? Like, people just let shit go.
Yeah, there's rules. You know, so a few of my airport etiquette tips, and anyone listening, send us some of yours. What are some rules that you think people should go by? Number one, don't stand up when the plane just lands. And wait until it's time for you to get your bag off. Don't eat tuna salad on a plane, ever. Don't eat tuna salad, you know, on the plane. And if you're sitting in your row, if you're on the two end seats, the one by the window and one by the aisle, each of you get one armrest. The person in the middle gets two armrests. That's the rules.
Since when?
That's how it is. The person in the middle gets two armrests. The person on the end, the window seat, they get an armrest in the window. The person on the aisle seat gets the aisle space and one armrest. Person in the middle, since you got the big seat, you got to take the two armrests. Because the middle sucks.
Okay.
Right? So the seat in the middle sucks. So at least you get two armrests, but you don't want the person on the window seat doing like this. Now you got to sit here in the middle like you're punished.
I'll share the armrest. I'll take the little itty bitty piece of it because I still want to put my arm down. Because the seats are shrinking. As the country gets this way, fatter, the seats are going the opposite direction. This shit is not working out. I actually had a fat dude sit down next to me one time, like, God. This is going to be a long-ass flight. And they're like, we need somebody to volunteer to come closer to the front for weight distribution. And luckily, he got his ass up.
Oh, I don't mind. Because, I mean, you sit next to a pretty large person. It could be nice because it's kind of like a little snuggle, like a little extra pillow. You just kind of lean into it. It's kind of nice.
And my one rule is this. If you know you've got a short window, and I do this all the time. I know there's a short window between flights. When I land for my layover and you're not quite sure exactly how far you're going to have to go, or even if you know how far you have to go, but you want to make sure you get to the next plane on time, pay the money for a seat closer to the damn front, okay? Pay for the seat closer to the front. There are certain seats they block off and go, here, use this seat is an extra $25, extra $30. Pay that. Don't try to come from the back of the plane with your economy seat and bull rush your way all the way to the front. This is not a football game. That fullback is going to get blocked. We're not going to allow this shit to happen. Because those of us that pay to be a little close up, we're not going to allow that shit. That's my rule.
Well, that's why I like Southwest. You don't have to pay for the seat. You don't have to pay for the seat. Just be A-list. Work on getting that A status, and then you can get up front. You can even pay to be to get the A-list preferred status. And that way you can sit up front, pick the seats you want. Like I said, every flight, I'm row 7. You know, aisle seat every single time.
Well, see, you and I can travel together because you take the aisle seat, I'll take the window seat. And hopefully there's not a fat dude sitting in the middle.
Yeah. I don't like the window. So normally I'll do the window seat if it's less than an hour flight. Anything more than an hour, I want the aisle seat just in case I have to go to the bathroom. I don't want to bother the person in the row. And I remember one time, the first time I was on a 3-hour flight, I was going to Baltimore from Austin. And I'm in the aisle seat. Middle seat was empty. There was a girl in the aisle seat. And weird thing about this girl, in true Austin form, she took her shoes off, was barefoot, had a skirt on, but when she crossed her legs, sitting like crisscross applesauce style, her legs were hairier than mine. I was just like, this is weird. And so at some point in this 3-hour flight, I had to use the bathroom. And so I get him like, hey, I'm sorry, I need to go to the bathroom. So she just lifted her legs and brought them in closer. And I'm like, okay, so I got to scoot by. Are you going to get the front or are you going to get the back? Like, how am I going to scoot? So front it was. I was just like, fine. Just,
hey,
excuse me.
Hey.
And, yeah. Hey, Jude. So she got Magic like, Mike on my way to the bathroom.
$5 bills only.
But I just hate that when you got to like scoot past people to get to the bathroom. You're disturbing them. Either they're watching a movie. They could be reading a book. I just don't like to do that. So that's why I take the aisle seats.
Do like your mama used to tell you before you got in the car for a long trip. You got to use the bathroom? Use it now.
Yeah, but when I was riding with my mom on those long trips, I also wasn't drinking in the airport bar. So That goes out the window when you've been drinking at the airport bar, and you finally get into the flight, and then eventually those whiskeys kick in.
Once you break the seal, it's over.
Exactly. So,
exactly,
total different ballgame.
Exactly why I don't drink in the airport when I'm flying, because you know what? You never want to go into the bathroom after that person has been in there who's been eating Popeyes from the doggone airport.
Hey, I love drinking in the airport. Like, it's just great. It makes the flight experience that much better. I can't wait till they start serving alcohol on the planes again. I know they're not, because all these people keep acting a fool.
Yeah, thank you.
On Jesus. Planes. Which is crazy, because what people are doing is they're getting hammered in the airport waiting on their flights. And then now, as they get on the flight, the alcohol kicks in and settles. And that's when they start to act a monkey.
Oh boy. Well, you know, it's late enough in the day that we can toast today, right?
Yep.
So, buddy, what you drinking today?
I'm drinking vodka water.
Vodka water?
Yeah. Svedka.
Svedka you can drink straight. Svedka's smooth.
You can.
It's nice.
You can, but I just like to cut it a little bit with some water and just kind of sip on it. It's nice.
Svedka was my go-to. When we had the bar, I discovered Svedka, and I loved to keep it at the house when I was doing vodka. And I drink Svedka all the time. Then I discovered Tito's, and I was like, what is this? What is this magical potion?
Oh, Tito's is definitely better, but $20.99 for 1.5 liters Svedka?
Oh, yeah, no.
I'll take
Svedka
that.
Svedka is a go-to, man. If I were to put some vodka in here right now, it's either going to be Tito's or Svedka. I don't even touch Ciroc. I'm not all about the brand name. I'm about the taste. And Svedka, to me, is just as good, if not better, than Ciroc anyway. And I don't do the flavored stuff, because that's just too sweet. You know, you talked about my glass last week, right? And you talked about the fact that you're going to have to get me a whiskey glass, because I'm drinking whiskey out of a wine, what do you call it, goblet? So I decided to go ahead and put some wine in it then. And so this wine, interesting.
Fetzer Chardonnay?
No, I don't do Chardonnay. It is Fetzer. It's and let's see if you can tell me what this is. What? Well, how do you pronounce that?
Oh, Gewürztraminer.
Yeah, sure. Exactly what you just said. So here's the funny thing, right? So I'm at Walmart one day, right? And I used to get the Riesling all the time. And I'm standing there. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, dang, they just raised the price on the Riesling. And I don't want to hear you comment about the fact that I was buying the Riesling in Walmart, because I know that's what you think.
That's what was in my head.
Judgment. I can
that's
see
what
the
was
judgment.
In my head.
I can see the judgment on your face.
Go to Walmart, get a nice Riesling.
And I'm like, man, these prices went up. And the guy goes, can I help you with anything? I'm like, yeah, if you can make the price go down. And he's like, what are you looking at? And I'm like, the Riesling. He's like, all right, well, if you like that, try this. And I'm like, all right, I'll take your word for it. And I tried it, and I've never had Riesling again since then. So.
Mm.
And what's it called again?
I believe it's Gewürztraminer.
All right, cool. That works.
I mean, if anyone listening, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that's what it's called.
It sounds way better than I say. The Gewürztraminer.
Yes. This is the Fetzer G unit.
It's a G minor.
Yeah.
So, you with your vodka water, me with my G minor. I'm Yanni Rude.
I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of your bullshit, and we'll talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.